ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम खंड 2 चैप्टर 8 टेक्स्ट 4 Is that right? Is that what it says?
Yep.
Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. How do you go backwards? Shrinvatam Shraddhaya Nityam Vinatascha Svacheshtitam Kalena Nati Dirghena. Okay. Bhagavan Vishate Hridi Shrinvata Shraddhaya Nityam Granatascha Svacheshtitam Kalena Nati Dirghena Bhagavan Vishate Hridi Shrinvata Shraddhaya Nityam Granatascha Svatheshtitam Kalena Nati Dirghena Bhagavan Vishate Hridi Persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter very seriously will have the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna manifested in their hearts within a short time. Is the echo function off? Yeah, there's natural echo here. Maybe put the bass up a bit, or bass as it's called in Indian English. Purport. Cheap devotees or materialistic devotees of the Lord are very much desirous to see the Lord personally without meeting the requisite qualifications. Such third-grade devotees should know well that material attachment and seeing the Lord face to face cannot go together. It is not such a mechanical process that the professional Bhagavatam reciters can do the job on behalf of the third-grade materialistic pseudo-devotee. The professional men are useless in this connection because they are neither self-realized nor interested in the liberation of the audience. They are simply interested in maintaining the material establishment of family attachment and earning some material benefits out of the profession. Maharaj Parikshit had no more than 7 days to live, but for others, Maharaj Parikshit personally recommends that one hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, nityam, always, by one's own effort and with serious devotion also. That will help one to see the Lord Sri Krishna manifested in one's heart within no time. The pseudo-devotee, however, is very anxious to see the Lord according to his whims, not making any serious effort to hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and with detachment from material benefit. That is not the way recommended by an authority like Maharaj Parikshit, who heard and benefited by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Welcome to this Shravan Kirtan camp. Obviously this verse, this subject is Shravan, hearing, particularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. It's one of many verses within the Bhagavatam itself which glorifies the process of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Much more famous verse, at least within our ISKCON, because Srila Prabhupada cited that very often. which the similar idea is given, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. That one should regularly serve the Bhagavata, the book Bhagavata, by hearing. And actually in two verses, that same idea is given, Shrinvatang Swakata Krishna. Punya Shravana Kirtan. So it's, you can say repetitive, but it's good every so often in the Bhagavatam, just remind us, yes, go on hearing. Don't think you're wasting your time. This is the best thing to do. Parikshit Maharaj, the most intelligent king, the fact that he was a king is inconsequential in as much as for hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, it doesn't matter whether one is a king or a pauper or whatever, whoever. If one attentively hears the message of Bhagavatam, then this particular verse gives the ultimate benefit that one will, the Lord will enter one's heart, or one will capture the Supreme Lord within one's heart. And personally, I think this is one of the sweetest verses, glorifying the process of hearing. Some of you may like, those of you who like to learn shlokas may like to learn this verse also, another verse glorifying the process of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. The process of hearing is glorified here, and the whole, the process of hearing Bhagavatam is glorified. And practically the Bhagavatam is all glorification. Glorification of Krishna, glorification of the devotees, glorification of the process of devotional service. And part of that glorification is also to point out the defects of persons who don't like to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, don't like to hear about Krishna. Such persons are, according to the Bhagavatam, their ear holes are like snake holes. Why is that? what's the comparison? Because nothing good goes into a snake hole. Only snakes go in. The function of the ear is to hear, but if one doesn't utilize the ear for hearing about Krishna, or in that same series of verses, if one doesn't bow one's head down before Krishna, if one doesn't go to the temple of Krishna, it's all summarized as Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam, a useless waste of the valuable human form of life. So we've all gathered here in this holy place to hear and chant about Krishna, to glorify Krishna, to glorify the devotees. This is kirtan. Shravana and kirtan go together. Chanting, the glory. Kirtan means to glorify. So glorify, the two ways it will go on, by speaking and hearing, and by chanting the holy names of Krishna, and by hearing. And where there is Shravana and Kirtan, there must also certainly be association with devotees, service to devotees. So the whole process of devotional service is complete here. Bhagavatam is glorification of Krishna, devotional service, devotees, so especially Krishna is very pleased when the devotees, his devotees, are praised. He himself is praised. Yang Brahma, Varunendra, Rudra, Maruta, Stunvanti, Divyai, Stavair, all the great demigods, they praise Krishna in choice, transcendental hymns. But many people, they offer prayers to the Supreme Lord with some mixed motives. The Lord Krishna, he becomes more pleased when the devotees are glorified. One who glorifies the devotees means they've understood the essence of devotional service. Shri Jane Bhakti Rasa Shah. They've understood why the Supreme Lord should be glorified. Generally, people who glorify the Supreme Lord, they do so with a cheating mentality. That sounds like very harsh words. Someone's chanting the name or the glories of the Supreme Lord, and we say, that's a cheating mentality because they want something back. They perform some bhakti, but they want some material benefit, either gross or subtle. Srila Prabhupada in this purport speaks about the professional reciters of Srimad Bhagavatam, who they recite the Bhagavatam, but the effect that Parikshit Maharaj got from hearing from Shukadev, that will not happen at all in such an exchange in which the speaker does it as a kind of profession, because at the end of the 7 days recital, people will come, and because in the Bhagavad Mahatma it said you should give gifts like an umbrella and cloth, so he gets dozens of umbrellas, and which are then sold back wholesale to the person they were bought from to be given at the next Bhagavat recital. This goes on. He gets 75 umbrellas, and then he has his men sell them back to the shop, because what are you going to do with 75 umbrellas? He's not Bhagavan. He's not the universal form that he needs 75 umbrellas. So it's all done in a manner in which neither the speaker is actually very serious to glorify the Lord. He speaks about bhakti, but the feeling of bhakti is not there. There's a show of it. Notably, Shukdev, after he was speaking to Parikshit, he might have thought, oh, now he's renounced the world. He's the king of the world. He can give me a lot of dakshina. But we find Shukdev, he came in naked. He left naked. He didn't have any back pockets to stuff the black money into. He came naked and he left naked, and I find it quite surprising that after Shukadev's, the momentous activity of speaking the whole of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and when it's over, it just says, and then Shukadev left. That's all. Doesn't say that there's no glorification, just, okay, I finished speaking the Bhagavatam, and he left. That's all. And then the... you have to find the mosquito. And then the takshak came and bid Parikshit, and he went back to Godhead. So this attitude, that the speaker, as Prabhupada says in the purport, which I can't read because the battery ran out, that the speaker should be... Well, he says that the professional speakers, they're not interested in benefiting the hearers, in giving them liberation from material existence. And nor are the hearers, they don't want to hear all the topics of Bhagavata. Or they don't want to hear it in a pure way. And therefore the whole process becomes contaminated. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, there is need of profuse speaking of the actual message of pure devotional service. Otherwise, undoubtedly, in the name of devotional service, all kinds of wrong ideas will come. It's necessary to speak the actual topics, because if it's not spoken and then someone comes and starts speaking and it's mixed up, they're speaking is mixed up with their material motives, which give rise to misconceptions. And even if people with contaminated motives, they speak, even if they just read it without giving any commentary, still their consciousness, contaminated consciousness, becomes mixed with that. So the speaker should at least be desirous to benefit others. And then you may think, well, how can he benefit if he's not on the level of Shukadeva? Then the prescription is, he should have himself heard very carefully, very sincerely, and repeat what he has heard from the pure devotee in disciplic succession. Repeat what he has heard, that means he has to do so in his own words, with his own realization. Grinatash chasva cheshtitam. If one accepts the message of Bhagavatam, endeavor, trying to understand it, then Bhagavan will enter the heart and some realization will be there. Realization doesn't mean speculation. Realization means that what is spoken in Bhagavatam, what is given by the pure devotees, what is given here by Srila Prabhupada, that becomes chitete koriya aikya. One makes that one with the heart. That means one has full faith that what Srila Prabhupada is presenting here, this is the ultimate truth for the benefit of everyone. This is what I should speak. According to this, I should speak. Not anything else. Only this. With shunvatang, shunvata, shodhaya, with full faith, nityam, that regularly one should hear, and one's faith should be steady, not partial faith. One should have complete faith that what I'm hearing, that is coming from the ultimate source of everything, as he's described in the beginning of Bhagavatam, janmadyasya yataha. This is the vedyam vastavam, atravastu. This is the actual message of the truth, of the reality, of the Vedas. And with that conviction, if we hear with the desire to be purified, then Bhagavan will enter our heart. Of course, Bhagavan is in everyone's heart, but he doesn't reveal, he reveals himself to the pure devotee who hears very carefully. As Srila Prabhupada himself said, he revealed, how was his kirtan so powerful? How is it? From the external point of view, an old man coming single-handedly to the Western countries where no one has any idea about this and not particularly inclined to dedicate themselves to anything, to give their heart and soul to anything or anyone. Srila Prabhupada's kirtan was very powerful, and he changed the hearts of people. He changed their whole way of life. People dedicated their life. His kirtan was the pure kirtan, means completely linked with Krishna via the process of devotional service. He heard with full faith from his spiritual master and repeated that according to the time, place and circumstance, according to the audience. He spoke that. It was very powerful because Srila Prabhupada was linked with Krishna, Paramatma Samahita. It's completely linked with the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the heart, and therefore his words were able to pierce the coverings of illusion, of egoism, of attachment, of misconceptions, and awaken the dormant Krishna consciousness in the hearts of those who even began to hear him seriously. It took some time before anyone heard him seriously. We might think that when he started in 26 Second Avenue, and there were some regular comers, that everyone is hearing seriously. But it took quite some time after that before they heard him seriously, because those who were hearing were hearing Srila Prabhupada through the fog of their attachment to Mayavad. They were eclectic. Translate that into Tamil, if you can. Bahu Shaka. They were eclectic so-called seekers. In other words, they read many books, they discussed among themselves, they took some intoxicants, consciousness-altering intoxication, and in this way they thought that we'll have some kind of spiritual realization. And they thought the Swamiji's pretty good, pretty nice too. Pretty good to have a real guru from India, some kind of quaint, attraction for them. But they weren't serious about surrendering to him, because even when Srila Prabhupada is again and again speaking about Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they thought, well, that's just his opinion. And these Mayavadis, Prabhupada was against, they thought, yeah, Swami, he's got some grudge against some people back in India. And then one day Srila Prabhupada just blasted them and blasted them and blasted them against their impersonal conceptions. And there were his only followers. That means Keith, Howard, Wally and Chuck, who later became Kirtananda, Hayagriva, Umapati and Achyutananda. But they were his followers, they were the regular crew. They might have just left him and said, what kind of Swami is that? Gets all angry at us, and we also know a lot, but they digested it, they took it, at least to a large extent, at least for the time being, they digested it. In the case of Keith, we're not quite sure. But then, when they were able, when Srila Prabhupada practically by force had removed from their hearts, or cut through that pride of I know so much, we're listening to the Swami, yeah, Swami's speaking nicely, very good, doing a good job there, Swami, keep it up. When they had been rescued from that pride, then they can begin to hear. Jnane prayasam utapasya namanta eva jivanti san mukharitam bhavadiya vartam sthane sthita shutikatam tanubam manobhya ye prayasa api, what is it, ye prayasa api jitititu api taistri lokam. This verse about hearing, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted this as the beginning of pure devotional service, as the beginning of the actual fulfillment of the purpose of life. To stop thinking, I know so many things. Or thinking that I can independently learn so many things. Become humble and dedicate one's life to hearing regularly from persons who are worth hearing from, because they've heard themselves. Hear from them, dedicating one's life, mind, body and words in the service of Krishna, and in this way one can conquer he who is unconquerable. Otherwise, that means by other processes, by dhane jane panditye krishnere nahipai, by wealth, by popularity, by scholarliness, one cannot attain Krishna. One can attain Krishna by the process of hearing. Keval bhaktiyabhash Chaitanya Goshai. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually comes under the control of pure devotion. So this camp is meant for pure devotion, beginning with hearing what is to be heard, glorification of Krishna, glorification of the process of devotional service, glorification of the devotees. Here in Sri Rangam is a great capital of devotion. I mean it's capital in the sense of Rajdhani, geographical capital, where for generations so many great devotees have come here. Some famous names, of course, Ramanuja is the most famous name. And there's so many great devotees. All the Alavas have glorified here Sri Ranganatha Swami. So it's a place of great devotees. But one thing we learn from the teachings, so many things we learn from the teachings of Sri Ramanuja, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted also, is glorification of the devotees, not just what we might call the big devotees, even the smallest of devotees is dear to Krishna. That was exemplified in one pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was here. And there was one Brahmana attempting to read Bhagavad Gita, but he couldn't read properly. A Shuddha part is described. He couldn't pronounce very clearly, couldn't read very well. And others thought it was a bit of a joke that he was attempting to do so, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him as a great devotee because he had the spirit of devotion. Even though he wasn't able to properly read the Bhagavad Gita, the very fact that he was trying to do so on the order of his guru, even though he was being ridiculed for that, and because he, when he was chanting Bhagavad Gita, he was thinking, this is Krishna in the role of the chariot driver to Arjuna. He's become the servant of his devotee. He's speaking. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him as a great scholar of Bhagavad Gita, although in terms of actual learning of the verses, he wasn't a great scholar. But in terms of understanding the essence, he was. And even the even if one is not a very advanced devotee, the very fact that one is chanting and hearing and chanting about Krishna, that makes that person glorious. It's a repeated message of the Bhagavatam, which is repeated in other bhakti shastras, like Hari Bhakti Sudhodai, which is quite often quoted there in the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that simply by this process of hearing and chanting about Krishna and glorifying the process of devotion, glorifying the devotees, one immediately comes to the highest platform. Immediately one surpasses someone who has performed many thousands of years of difficult austerities. Immediately one becomes, even someone who by meditation, controlling the mind, their mind has become very peaceful, they've controlled the senses. And here we have someone else who's chanting Hare Krishna, but his mind is a long way from controlled, but still the chanter is on a better platform. He's on a higher platform of self-realization. It to some people it might seem almost offensive to say that. How can you say that? How can you say that someone who's got no study of the Vedas, who's inclined to sense gratification, just because they chant the name of Krishna, which anyone can do, they're better situated than some big yogi? That is the verdict of Shastra. Because by chanting the name of Krishna, one immediately surpasses all other activities, which all other activities, they don't really bring us to the point. They may be quite spectacular, but they don't really, they don't bring us to the point, which is Krishna Bhakti. So we're here together to glorify Krishna, to glorify the Bhagavatam, to glorify Bhakti, to glorify the Bhaktas. So I'll take this opportunity to glorify all of you, all great personalities who have come here to hear and chant about Krishna. So many people come to Sri Rangam, pious people, but they don't have any idea to hear and chant about Krishna. They come for some darshan and they come and go. Well, we should, that's also preaching this. We come here to together to get strength and energy and inspiration to go out and to again go out into the world and try to bring others into this process of hearing and chanting about Krishna. So take strength. We can all get strength. Sange Shakti Kalo Yuga. In the Satya Yoga, one got strength by being alone and doing meditation. In Kali Yuga, we get strength by association. Come together. And then we fortify each other's devotional service. Otherwise, in material life, association with non-devotees, it tends to drain our devotional inspiration. So coming together, at least for a few days, with concentrated hearing and chanting. So thank you all for coming. Especially like to thank Mukunda Datta Prabhu. Is he there? Some of you know him, most of you don't. Haripada Prabhu, whom I think most of you know, he's also scheduled to arrive. So Mukunda Prabhu, you don't know yet, but we hope he'll be coming to more of these camps. Disciple of Srila Prabhupada, lives in Vrindavan, where his main service is on behalf of the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. So, translate and now edit books, but he's a Sanskrit scholar, so absorbed in Bhakti Shastra. And also he's very expert in Vaishnava Sangeet, singing and music. And he's also a very sweet and learned devotee and very dedicated to Srila Prabhupada, which that, for me, is a major qualification, because we're all here by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, and we don't want to undermine that or minimize that and become get this, what Srila Prabhupada referred to as Guru Mara Buddhi. You learn everything from the Guru and then I don't need him anymore. Just kill him off and go on without him. So we should be dedicated to Prabhupada. One of the features of this Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya is the very much appreciation of the devotees and the guru-disciple relationships. If we read the life or hear the life of Rama, Sri Ramanuja, how strongly they emphasize this. And Krishna himself here in Bhagavatam emphasizes that. Acharyam maam vijaniyan. You should know the Acharya is myself, Krishna says. Of course, that's to be understood how he's different also, but the point is that one should jajapi ama guru chaitanya radas tatapi janeho taha chaitanya prakash, as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami puts it, describing this verse, that even though I know that my guru is a servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but at the same time I understand him to be a manifestation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So all devotees who are very eager to hear and chant about Krishna, well, that's the meaning of a devotee, to hear and chant and serve about Krishna. They're all glorious. How much more should we glorify Srila Prabhupada, who's brought this feeling for hearing and chanting about Krishna to the world? Otherwise, who is going to glorify Krishna in America, in Africa, in Japan? Srila Prabhupada brought that to the world, this process of hearing and chanting about Krishna. So we want to glorify Srila Prabhupada also, particularly. We should never forget. It may seem, how could we forget Prabhupada? But it's by the power of Maya, it's possible. I remember in Mayapur, 1976, at the Mayapur festival, Srila Prabhupada said that we should never forget that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I was sitting in the lecture and said, oh, how could we forget that? It's just like you don't forget who your father is. But it's quite possible by the power of Maya to forget such things. So it's also important. We're glorifying Krishna, we're glorifying the devotees. Srila Prabhupada is so much present in everything we do that we might just take him for granted. That we read his books, we follow the program he gave, we chant 16 rounds on his order, we offer food to Krishna. It's all coming from him. And we may just forget it because we think, well, it's just like children may take the parents for granted. They just presume that's what they do, and they don't even recognize. So we also require to remind ourselves, and otherwise we may talk of Krishna, but Krishna won't be very pleased. Just as if we forget where this mercy is coming from, then we get cut off from the mercy. Just as Krishna is pleased if his devotees are glorified, if we neglect to glorify them, then he also is not very pleased. So we should glorify all the devotees of ISKCON who are faithfully following Srila Prabhupada, all the devotees of Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, all devotees, past, present, future. They're all very dear to Krishna, and don't take things for granted. Always remember, it's by our very great good fortune that we have the opportunity to be here to glorify Krishna. Just yesterday, we had a formal meeting of the devotees who are serving and overseeing different projects under my supervision. So don't take them for granted either. In the temple, you go to a temple and you see a deity worship is going on, prasad is being served, you say, well, that's the way it should be. Yeah. But it takes much effort and dedication of all the devotees for all these. If something goes wrong, everyone notices. If the prasadam's not on time, then grumble, grumble. But if it's on time every day, well, it's like the child. They just presume. They take the parents for granted. But when the child grows up, then he can begin to, especially when he has his own children, then he can begin to appreciate how my parents have sacrificed for me. So we can glorify all the devotees, and especially be grateful to those who are helping us in our spiritual life. Anyone who takes the trouble to guide us, even to point out what's wrong. So generally, we don't like that. That's against the code of ethics in the modern world. Even a slight suggestion that someone might be wrong or they need to rectify themselves, that's considered morally wrong. It's called microaggression. If you even slightly say something which someone might not like, that's considered to be against the proper code of conduct. But actual human society, the real well-wisher is one who points out. Of course, encouraging also, but this should not be done. You have to rectify yourself, you have to change. We have to be ready to accept that also. Unless we're ready to accept that I need to change, then we can't change. If we think, well, I'm already good, I'm sincere, we may think, so whatever I do is good, we have to be ready to accept rectification. Now this hearing and chanting is group effort, but individually also, those who guide us, take care of us, especially we have to be very grateful to them. This group effort is very powerful. I think you're all aware of that, which is why you're coming again and again. It's coming together to hear and chant about Krishna. It has a very powerful purifying effect. It gives us more and more inspiration in Krishna consciousness, conviction in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, the whole world is going on down, down, down. The influence of Kali Yuga is increasing more and more and more. We can hardly imagine what the world will be like if in 10 or 20 years' time. If we look back 10 years, or 20 years, or 30 years, those who've lived that long in this body, we can see that the world is much worse now. And what's it going to be like in another 10 or 20 or 30 years? Now the world's come to the situation, any place, any time, without any warning, there can be a terrorist attack, a bomb, and just people are killed. Anywhere in the world. That's the situation in the world. No one's safe anywhere. They're just one of the manifestations of the modern world. And no one could have imagined that just even a short time ago. And we can't even imagine what the world's going to be like in, say, 10, 20 years from now. We can imagine a world which is much better by Krishna consciousness. Things can change. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's formula to change the world. Kali Kali Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar Nam Hoite Hoi Sarva Jagat Nishta. The holy name is the avatar for Kali Yuga, for delivering the whole world. So it is possible to change the world. It's not just our private affair. This is meant for everyone. We're taking inspiration here, hearing and chanting, so that we can pray for strength to conjointly distribute this process of Krishna consciousness, bring others into this, so that others, many, many others can be benefited, at least here. Actually, in many places of the world, all over the world, practically, we find there are many people who, with some association and some guidance, they could take up Krishna consciousness. So there's vast scope for doing so. Of course, the more we try to preach, the more Kali will try to stop us. So the influence of Kali Yuga, that will increase, the demoniac propensities of others will come out. But we should keep faith in the holy names and come together from time to time to get strength. Actually, Srila Prabhupada wanted that for the Mayapur festival, that all the devotees from all over the world should come together and hear and chant. When I was allowed to join this movement in 1975. We'd go out in small groups of three, four, or five, in vans, distributing books, and after 1 week or 2 weeks, we'd all come back for one day, have a big kirtan, we'd all be together, and then again go out, and so get strength by coming back. So this movement is meant for driving out Kali Yuga. We have to be very careful not to let Kali enter this movement. How is that possible? By pure hearing and chanting. Again, I'll cite Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that we need profuse broadcasting of the actual message of pure devotional service. Otherwise, in the name of devotional service, so many misconceptions will come in. Where we're duty-bound to speak and to go to hear the message of Bhagavatam, as it is, to use Srila Prabhupada's phrase, as it is. Only that can purify. If we're not becoming purified, then we're letting Kali enter. And Kali has so many bad features. Laziness, jealousy, offensiveness, wrong ideas in the name of bhakti, which appear to be bhakti. Kali dressed up as bhakti, which mislead others who think, oh, I'm doing bhakti, but actually they're following Kali. And they'll speak, that Kali in the dress of bhakti will speak as if it's bhakti. But unless we are regularly hearing Shrinvata Shraddhaya Nityam Gurnatas Chashva Cheshtitam, unless we're regularly hearing with firm faith in the message of the Bhagavatam, which is Dharma Projita Kaitava Atra, rejecting all representatives of Kali, all cheating in the name of Dharma. Unless we have firm faith in the parampara of pure devotees, unless we're really trying to understand that, then we're liable to be cheated by the personality of Kali dressing as a devotee. There are many mundane persons, Srila Prabhupada writes, in the dress of devotee. So you have to be careful to keep that out. Of course, Kali also enters as money, and it's a great quandary in our movement that for the sake of preaching Krishna consciousness in the world, we need so much money. At the same time, money is very, very dangerous, because money is the vehicle or the medium by which, in the money-based society that we live in, practically everywhere in the world nowadays, of course, those who grow up in, most people grow up and they have no idea there could be any other economic system. They presume everything has to be based on money. There's not like, Varnashram society is not based on money. But money is seen as the medium for sense gratification. That's why the idea is to get more money. Why? So you can enjoy yourself more. So we have this mentality that money is meant for, I can enjoy myself with money. So we have to be very, very careful and understand it's all meant for Krishna. We can take any amount of money. It's all meant for Krishna. Nothing for me. As soon as the mentality of let me enjoy, as soon as that enters, then the spirit of pure devotion is compromised. Therefore, We need constant pure kirtan, otherwise ignorance, laziness, desires for sense gratification, cheating mentality, desire for prestige, desire for position, all this will spoil our devotional service. And spoil those, then we also become Kali dressed as bhakti and we can spoil the lives of others. So this Shravan Kirtan camp is meant for intense concentration of pure devotional speaking, hearing, association. Here there should be no casual talk. There should be nothing, at least for these 4 days. Everyone should try to be completely absorbed in hearing and chanting about Krishna with the prayerful attitude. O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. So chanting kirtan, the holy names, praying to Krishna, please engage me in your service. Dancing for the pleasure of Krishna. We don't deny that Krishna consciousness is very blissful, very serious but very blissful. So Krishna also becomes happy when we are happy. We shouldn't think, let me be happy. That shouldn't be our motive. But we do become happy by Krishna's grace because Krishna is all happy. So Krishna also becomes very happy when we are happy. They're the happiness of serving Him, not the happiness of thinking, let me be happy. So that expression is kirtan, dancing, and also the kirtan of speaking the pure message of Srimad Bhagavatam as heard Shukamakad, Amrita, the nectar heard from Shukadev, which is passed down in disciplic succession. And we have received this through Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada of course wanted the disciplic succession to go on. He wanted his disciples to, not that the kirtan should stop, he wanted his disciples to continue the disciplic succession by being gurus. How should they be gurus? Jare deko tare koha Krishna upadesh. By speaking the message of Krishna. And then in this way the disciplic succession goes on. So I again thank you all very much for coming to this place, holy place, Sri Rangam, in the Sampradaya of Sri Ramanuja. The emphasis is very much on Sharanagati, taking shelter in the Lord. And I also, in my talking, I also emphasize that. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ultimate teaching is Prema Siddhanta. That's a term that Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has identified as the ultimate teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prema Siddhanta. His ultimate teaching is for prema, but I personally emphasize more surrender to Krishna, give up all personal desire. From that, prema will come. Talking of prema without the basis of Sharanagati, surrendering to Krishna, it won't happen. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Jibe Daya Kari, Shaparshada Shia Dhamma Shahabatari. Atantar durlabha prema kari bare dan shikai sharanagati bhakatera prad. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being very merciful to the fallen jivas, has descended in the world along with his associates and along with his own dham, and he teaches sharanagati, which is the very life of the devotees. Atanta durlabha prema kari bare dan. And that extremely rare prema, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give. He's giving it by teaching the process of Sharanagati. So we should be hearing more about that in various ways over the next 4 days. Hare Krishna, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. All right, this talk is over now. So you may all please take prasadam. And then at 10:30, Mukundadatta Prabhu will be distributing Krishna Kirtan. Means talking, singing about Krishna. Hare Krishna.